Welcome to Between the Lines, presenting news and analysis of critical issues affecting our region, the nation, and the world. This week we present Kit Gage, coordinator of the National Coalition to Protect Political Freedom, who condemns a Bush administration executive order authorizing military tribunals to try non-citizens charged with terrorism; Ritu Sharma, executive director of Women's Edge, who talks about congressional legislation urging the Bush administration to make the restoration of women's rights in Afghanistan a priority; and author and activist Star Hawk, who reports from Ottawa on the state of the global social justice movement as demonstrations greeted delegates of the World Bank and IMF as they met in the Canadian capital November 17th and 18th. But first, we begin with a summary of some of the week's underreported news stories.
26-year-old Palestinian Mohammed Sirtawi, a college-educated native of Nablus, is set to flee the West Bank. He's worried about losing his job at a wireless phone company and the fact that nobody is able to make much money in Palestinian-controlled towns. Now, a year after the start of the Second Palestinian Intifada, Sirtawi says it is time to pack and move to Canada to stay with a relative who works in the computer industry. According to the World Press Review magazine, there has been an exodus of young, educated Palestinians in recent months. They are leaving for Europe, the United States, Canada, and Australia. Some of those fleeing work for the Palestinian Authority, or major non-governmental groups serving people in the territories. A Palestinian woman who works with an NGO says, "We simply cannot go on living like this." 29-year-old Yusuf Barakat used to make good money as a dealer in a Palestinian casino in Jericho. But since the uprising began, the casino has closed. Fluent in French, Barakat is heading for a brighter future in Paris. But the majority of poor Palestinians have nowhere to go. Israeli restrictions on travel are the cause of most of the economic dislocation, and amidst continuing violence, there are sadly no political solutions in sight. The news magazine In These Times reports that the next front against global terrorism could be in the jungles of Southeast Asia. Asian intelligence chiefs are particularly worried about Abu Sayyaf, a militant Islamic army based in the islands of the southern Philippines that has taken responsibility for kidnapping over 70 foreign tourists in the last 6 months. Four tourists have been executed. In recent months, Asian intelligence agencies have gathered evidence linking Abu Sayyaf with the Al-Qaeda terrorist network, including direct funding from terror mastermind Osama bin Laden. And since the September 11th terror attacks in the United States, the Philippine government has opened up two military bases to American troops. In October, the American military presence in the southern Philippines increased significantly when advisors arrived to instruct the Philippine army in tactics to fight the Islamic rebels. Other Southeast Asian nations, such as Malaysia and Indonesia, have expressed growing concern about the activities of Islamic militants. In mid-November, army chiefs from the 10-member Association of Southeast Asian Nations met in Manila to hammer out a treaty on cross-border arms smuggling and kidnapping. Still, some observers doubt that Asian governments have the will to go after terror groups. Bambang Haryamurti, editor of the Indonesian magazine Tempo, notes that his nation's police force has been unable to arrest Tommy Suharto, the son of the former dictator, wanted on corruption charges. The practice of large-scale hog farming is hampered by the toxic qualities of its end product, manure. Primarily, the phosphorus in manure has the capacity to decimate aquatic ecosystems, leading the Environmental Protection Agency to list concentrated manure as among the greatest threats to our nation's waters and drinking water supplies. In an attempt to deal with the problem at its source, Canadian researchers have created a genetically modified pig whose output contains 60-75% less phosphorus. But environmental groups view the introduction of yet another genetically modified organism into the food chain with great concern. In the words of Laurel Hopwood, who chairs the Sierra Club's Genetic Engineering Committee, "This is just another quick fix. The way to reconcile the problem is to stop factory farming." Additionally, hogs don't actually create the phosphorus as much as they pass along indigestible components of their feed. This influenced the approach taken by a U.S. government researcher who recently developed a breed of corn that lowers phosphorus levels by 50%. Still, farmers seem to find the EnviroPig attractive.